podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Ha ha! It thinks I'm you!
Oh my god!
Yes!
Oh no! What are you gonna do?
Oh, what am I not gonna do? Right, come on, let's get on with this.
Okay.
Hello and welcome. This is My Mate Bought a Toaster. Absolutely thrilled to welcome a very dear friend, the wonderful co-broadcaster on Magic, Emma B, joins us this week.
Yo. Zigga zigga. Not that Emma B. The only one and only.
Not
Emma
that
B.
Emma B. No. God, the number of times when you and I presented Magic Breakfast together on a couple of occasions, Emma, the number of times I said I was presenting it with Emma B and they went, oh, whoa.
Did I tell you about the time I DJed back at my university and they sent me down there and I got off the train at the train station and came out to where the cabs were and there was a long line of cabs. And all the drivers were out of their cars, leaning on the bonnets of their cars in a long, 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 long line. And at the front of the line was a very enthusiastic man with a big sign saying, Emma B. And I said, I went up to him and I said, hi, like this. He went, yeah. And I went, hi, thanks. Are you for me? No. I'm picking up Emma B. And I said, that's me. I'm Emma B. And he went, what? And I said, I'm Emma B, the DJ. I'm not a Spice Girl. And he went, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. I've asked all my mates to come and pick you up too. Look. And they were all creased on the floor laughing their heads off. It's just like never been made to feel so like second rung on my entire life. It was awful. It was hilarious.
Hey, you'll always be Emma A to me.
Yay. Okay? Thank you, Tom.
And at least, you know, in that situation, there's sort of laughter and disappointment that you're not the superstar famous person. Imagine if it's the other way around. Imagine if your name is Lauren, like Lawrence Fox, and you rock up and there's a small riot of people ready to attack you. Like, you know, it's quite nice, really.
I have to be honest with you. I have been upgraded on a fair few occasions and haven't corrected them.
Oh.
Yes.
You are joking. Emma VIP in the house.
Yes.
That's so good.
So Emma Bunton, thanks for the apartment and the top floor in that swanky hotel.
But come on, we've established we're not speaking to the Spice Girl, but we are speaking to Radio 1 icon in the 90s. I listened to you loads. It was so weird when we ended up working together because I used to listen to you all the time.
Please don't say when I was a kid. Please don't say I used to listen to you all the time when I was a teenager.
It was when I was a teenager, yeah. All right, so we're going to go to the beginning of your Amazon history, okay? Your first ever order on Amazon.
Oh, my God. And I don't even know how you find that.
13 years ago, 2007, you made your first order on
Amazon. No way!
It was on the 7th of May, 2007. Can you remember what you were buying then?
Absolutely no idea.
Things Fall Apart.
Oh, my God, that's a good one, isn't it? Chinua Achebe. Gosh, that's a good one.
Tell me about this book, please. What is it?
Oh, my God, this is an incredible book. So when I went to university, I went to do drama. And I got sort of half the way through the first term and thought, I quite want to do something else because this is full of strange people. And whilst there is a bit of me that's quite strange in drama, there's also a lot of me that loves books and reading and writing and stuff. And so I swapped to drama and English. And as part of my English of course, we did a big bit on literature of the empire. And Chinua Achebe is basically Africa's Charles Dickens. He writes the stories of the day. He's just an incredible. And this is a real origin story. And it's about it's about a tribe in Nigeria who have. This is the turn of the century. So this is a group of people in this tribe who have structure and consequence and laws and strategy and morals. And it's a really functioning, it's a very functioning, successful tribe. And then the missionaries come. And it's a very, very short story, but it is touted as the African novel. And it's a very short story. You'd read it in a day. It's one of two books that have made me cry, actually shed tears.
What's the other book that's made you cry?
War Horse, Michael Morpurgo.
Oh, yeah. And don't hurt animals.
I know, don't hurt the animals. course, I was on the Northern Line reading that as well. It was awful. It was dead embarrassing.
Good job it was all fictional. That's really...
yeah, isn't it just? Hey, can you
none
imagine?
None of that stuff happened.
And so this is about how the missionaries came and destroyed this amazing tribe and humiliated this incredible leader in the name of savagery. And it was, yeah, it's incredible. You'd love it. You would love it. That's an incredible book. So it's very dear to my heart.
First of all, I feel deeply ignorant, but happy to be educated. Yes. That I don't even know about this book. That's outrageous. I mean, look at the quote on the front of this book, Emma. Yeah.
What does it say?
Never heard of this guy either. Nelson Mandela.
Who's that? Blimey.
Nelson Mandela. It's an incredible quote. The writer in whose company the prison walls fell down.
Yeah.
Wow. That's not bad, is it?
It's not a bad comment. It is an astonishing book. It's astonishing. It's like, it's one of those, you know, it's just one of those novels that could have been 9 million words long, and it's so little and concise. But also, I think, in the light of Black Lives Matter, that we've been talking about is who writes history and then who, you know, what history we teach our kids. And the fact that, you know, you don't know this book and you read shitloads, you know.
And also that I've done English throughout my education. That's what I did at university and never came across this at all.
Exactly.
Isn't that astonishing? I mean, it's.
It's an easy read as well. It's a really easy read. So put it on your list. But
on it goes. Thank you very much. $3.99 on Kindle. Yes, please. Love it. Always. Now tell me. I'm interested that you were doing drama, but you went over to do English and drama. Did you feel like you should be doing something with a bit more rigor? Did you have some sort of academic pressure bearing down on you?
No, it was like, so I wasn't allowed to go to drama school because my dad said no, you can't go to drama school because that's silly. And I really wanted to go to drama school, but I wasn't allowed. So the next best thing was that if it had a university attached to it, then I was allowed to go. So I went to Exeter to do drama, very much, very respected drama course and drama department there. I've got nothing against drama students. We spent a lot of time rolling around.
Wonderful.
I know.
Extracurricular rolling around? Or
well, there was some of that as well, to be honest with you. But we spent a lot of time rolling around and I felt a bit lost by it all. And I think I needed something. I loved English, and I've always loved English literature. And I just really missed it. I just needed it. I just needed a bit of sanity, I think, in amongst me being quite a sort of provincial 18-year-old who wasn't very street savvy, sort of thrust into this group of people that were wailing and expressing themselves through the medium of rolling around. And that's, you know, there have been some super talented people come out of our drama course, and, you know, the artistic director of the Donmar Warehouse was in my year and all sorts of stuff like that. So it's a great drama course and some great people. I'm still really, really good friends, but I think I was a bit flummoxed by it and I just needed some structure. Yeah, we did. Yeah. I mean, we had a girl called Rose in our group who, Rose is amazing. You will have last seen her running into Coventry Cathedral naked, covered in anti-war slogans. She was an education. She used to live in a little caravan by the river and collect her own menstrual blood.
Oh, I mean, this is the authentic university experience, isn't it? Come on.
What have you been doing today, Rose?
I'll show you. No, you're all right. You're okay.
Am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah,
okay,
sure.
All right.
Sure.
So on our final piece that we had to do in our third year, we had to do, you know, direct a piece of theatre and, you know, create it and everything. And she came, we were all watching, going, oh my God, what's she going to do? What's she going to do? And she walked on stage, stark bollock naked, and said, a woman is not just a cunt. And I was like, oh God, I'm so going to get a third. That is brilliant. That's all you
I'm
have
pretty
to
sure
do.
That is how Jim Davidson started his latest tour as well, actually. I think that's his material. Gosh, Emma, there'll be people who listen to us on Magic who'll have hopped onto this podcast thinking there'll be some nice light entertainment before bringing on Savage Garden, and we've dropped the C-bomb in the first 5 minutes. It's astonishing. Come on, let's move on. 2008. Right, okay. Here we go. 2008, Emma. Okay. Only three items. Judy Blume. Bit of Judy Blume still into the serious literature Judy there?
No, okay, so this will have been for Edie, so my teenager who's now 17. So when I was a kid, my teenage years, Thank God, Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret. Is it Deanie as well? Might be there. And Tales of the Fourth Grade Nothing. You'll love this story.
Yes, so, that's what this is.
Okay, so Tales of the Fourth Grade Nothing is brilliant. And Judy Blume wrote some amazing sort of tween stories. Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret is like seminal book for teenage girls. She starts a period, she gets bullied, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And Deanie is about a young girl who has got scoliosis. And then Tales of the Fourth Grade Nothing is about a really annoying younger brother. And it's the first time really as a kid you will have read a book that is written from the perspective of being an older sibling. It's not written from the perspective of being an adult. It's just so spot on. It's absolutely bang on. And so I gave these to Edie and she read them and she liked them so much. She wrote to Judy Blume and guess what? Judy Blume wrote back. Yes.
No way.
Yes, she did. She wrote back. And it was one of those moments where you just go, oh man, this is the key that's going to unlock her love of reading. I'm so grateful for the woman for doing that. So, you know.
That's amazing. And did you keep the letter?
Yeah. She's got it upstairs in her Deanie book. So she's got it up there in one of her books. Yeah. How lovely is that?
That's so cool. That is so lovely. It must be so wonderful though to be a writer or any kind of creator and to get those letters from people and to think, do you know what? If I take 10 minutes out now, then I can really just inspire someone and just hand on a little bit of the magic. And it's just, yeah, that's so fantastic when people do that because they don't always.
No, God, absolutely not. Do you write back to all your fans?
Yeah, I do. Please leave me alone. That's what I say. I say, please get in touch with Emma B. She's much more likely to send you a signed autograph. Do you get asked for signed photos?
Yeah, well, it was a real thing, wasn't it, back in the 90s? I've got it here. I'm right by the side of my desk because I need a constant ego boost because I'm so fragile. I have to keep it by my desk. So I've got it by my desk here, my first Radio 1 card. So this is my first ever Radio 1 card. And I was 25. And I was so nervous. I was so excited. And I had that photo shoot the same day that they gave me my pair of headphones. And Radio 1, when you got your contract signed, you got a pair of headphones and they'd written your name on it. And I phoned my mom and I was in floods of tears going, oh my God, I've made it, mom, I've made it. I've got my headphones and a photo card. That was it. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, but we used to do the road shows, didn't we? We used to chuck them out everywhere. Everybody would like come and get them for you.
Yes, no, I know. I think I remember writing off to Radio 1. No offence. Please don't leave the call because I need you for the podcast. But for Mark and Lard, please don't.
Oh, did you?
I loved Mark and Lard. I was obsessed with Mark and Lard.
Well, you might be one of the...
You work with me, Emma.
Yeah,
I have a similar sense of humour.
You do. You might be one of the people, because I used to stand in for Mark and Lard quite often, and they're loyal fans. Oh, my God. You used to get an absolute grilling from them. Who the fuck are you? Where's Mark and Lard? They're dry and northern, and you're just really bubbly and annoying.
Well, I mean, it was good training for us to stand in for Ronan and Harriet when we did.
Wasn't
and,
it? You
know, singing for them at breakfast. Got to be ready for their loyal following. The classic, where Ronan? There's always that person. Every single time I sit in for Ronan Keating, the same person tweets, where Ronan?
Where Ronan?
I just replied, don't know. All right, good. Bit of Judy Blume there. Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing. A ringing endorsement there from MMB. Also the choral collection, the Cambridge Singers. John Rutter there. 25th of September 2008. Like a bit of... Nice bit of quiet choral music.
I do. We got married. When we got married, we had some choral music. I don't know why I bought this, though. I'm not sure why I bought this. I don't know why I bought that one particularly.
We don't always have to remember why we buy things, Emma. You don't need to think of excuses.
No, I don't think I don't know why that is.
Okay. I quite like choral music. I think that Christmas has unfairly got a bit of a monopoly on choral music. And like, whenever we listen to carols from Kings on Christmas Eve, I'm always like, I love this shit. Why don't I have this shit in my life all year long? It's wonderful.
That's really funny that you say that.
Go on.
Because my dad, you know, I get emails, don't I, from my dad. I get emails like on a daily basis from my dad. And my dad is obsessed with Kings at Christmas. And he's written, he's just emailed me yesterday saying that he'd written to the choir master to check that it was going to be going on this Christmas because he was worried about the social distancing. And he was just like, well, I can't. I mean, it has to go on. We can't have Christmas without the King's singers. So, he sent me an email and saying, I've logged on and found who to write to. So I'll let you know when they get back to us.
Could you imagine the choir master at King's just like, right, what are you doing? I've just got some admin to do. I've got a Mr. Wilson on the line here. Just need to, or Mr. B, I suppose it should be.
Yeah.
So he'll have to reply. Do you think he'll get a reply back?
He gets a reply from everyone. My dad writes to everyone. Me and my dad used to write to everyone. And so he gets a reply. He just told me yesterday he'd just written to Keir Starmer. So
really?
He'd just written to Keir Starmer asking for a job yesterday. So
did he say, what kind of job does he want with Keir Starmer?
He wants to build houses. He's really good. He used to be a Labour councillor, you see, for many years, my dad. So
is he a fan of the Starmer Trump?
He's reserving judgment at the moment. But the thing is that if you write to your MP, they have to write back to you. They are obliged to write back to you. So it might take forever, but that's why everybody, when you care about something and you're angry about something, that's why you have to write to your MP. You have to, because if you just fill up their inbox, they have to get back to you and they have to do something about it.
Pebble dash your MP with admin.
Exactly.
God, I love that. I love that. But this is what we're learning. Obviously, it's a family trait. Your daughter's writing letters to Judy Blume. That's inherited from her granddad. There you go. Always write the letter, guys. Always in Hollywood, always take the meeting. In Britain, always write the letter. There you go.
Exactly.
28th of April, 2009. Passos 1, student book, a first course in Spanish. A little bit of Spanish.
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is really nice. It's a really nice thing to do. That is because that was the year we moved to Ibiza. So we moved to Ibiza for a little while, for just under 2 years. And we'd been thinking about it. The baby was, he was just about one. Edie was five. I'd just finished working. I'd gone back to work. And I was working at Heart on drive time and it was killing me. And I was spending 4 hours a day in the car driving backwards and forwards and traveling. And Damien was had just got a really swanky job at an agent for DJs.
Jesus. And how old were Edie and
so
Billy?
So Edie was about five and Billy was was just walking. So we just, you know, it was one of those things though, you just make a decision on a penny and we just went, should we just go to Ibiza? We did. So we went and we rented a house and the kids, Billy ran around with no clothes on for a year to 18 months to a year, 2 years. His first two words were Catalan. And Edie went to a French school where they spelt French in the classroom and they spoke Spanish in the playground and learned how to speak French really well and swear a lot in Spanish. And I didn't do very much at all. And then occasionally I'd go and do a radio show at one of their radio stations there and just rock up with a bag of records and play some records overlooking, the San Antonio Bay. And I fell back in love with radio then. And it was amazing. Glorious. It like we were skint. We were so penniless when we came back.
That was a question that was on the way. Don't worry. That question's on the horizon and it's running towards us. What, I mean, this is just completely wonderful. And your family must have just been like, what are you doing? Thanks.
Yeah, they did. They did. I think they probably expected it at some point. I think, you know, mum and dad had always sort of hinted it, you know, that they thought it was on the horizon. And my dad was always quite encouraging about going abroad and, you know, do something like that once. You don't have to do it forever, but go and live abroad. And
good advice.
It's an incredible experience. And I think it's really had a massive impact on me about the way I feel about Brexit, for example. And, you know, I felt so part of Europe and the kids would, you know, end up, because it's such a melting pot of people from all over the world. You know, Edie's ended up with friends from South America and Germany. And, you know, she would stand in this queue of people going into her classroom and she'd, you know, the girl in front of her would speak Dutch to her mum and then speak to her dad in German and her mum in English. And then she'd turn around and have a conversation with her two friends in French. And I was just like, this is incredible. This is just ace. It's so fulfilling and so brilliant that she's got this perspective of the world. This is the world is, you know, we're
and you
all
had
in
zero
it.
Paperwork to fill out to you know.
None.
To fly. Sorry to bring this to admin. That is quite almost tawdry of me to do it, but it's true. This is the thing that's going to stop people. Let's not get onto a Brexit bandwagon here, because to be honest, Emma, I think 99.9% of people listening are kind of on the same page as us with this. But I that idea that you can just go next week we're going. I've rented a place. 2 years off. Let's go. Let's do this. I just want to know about
it's
that.
It's going to be impossible.
It reminds me of the feeling at the moment, there's a new word that's hit the English language. The moment when you take your mask off and take that first breath is now called an airgasm.
So, I haven't, but it is true. It is true.
This feels like your life airgasm. You took off the mask of constraints of responsibilities and work and corporate radio work and all that sort of stuff, and you just flew to Ibiza. It's an incredible thing to do.
Just went and got spangled for 2 years while the kids ran around doing absolutely nothing. It was genius.
Hello, my name's Beth Murray, and if you'd like to hear funny people talk about giving birth, then have I got the podcast for you.
Poor Richard, he made the schoolboy error of standing up to see the baby while I was on the operating table, and I think that's really not recommended.
You were scarred for life, he was scarred for life. In the latest series of One Torn Every Minute, a whole labour ward of new guests tell me their birth stories in hilarious and graphic detail.
Gas and air can suck my...
That's One Torn Every Minute. Available now on all good podcast platforms.
I suppose you wouldn't do it at all, would you, if you really thought about it?
Ooh, I don't want to hear no more crying. Just come on, let me know what you've been buying.
Okay, so, Emma, you have gone to Ibiza. The Venga bus came and picked you up, presumably. I don't know. And,
it did.
Now we're in 2010 and we can see that there are kids involved. We can see things like trademark collections in the night garden wheelie bag. Oh, gorgeous. In the night garden. Don't you? It's so strange because I miss when my boys were old enough to watch In the Night Garden. But at the time, I was so very, very tired and miserable.
Oh, do you know what as well? So this is, I remember Billy opening that on Christmas Day because it was a Christmas Day present and he opened it on Christmas Day. I will never forget his face. He was beside himself. Not only that it was in the night garden, but this was his suitcase because he'd been traveling, but this was his own suitcase. I think he took it with him everywhere for about 3 months. It was just so nice. And he just walked around the house with it for ages and ages and ages. It was lovely. Yeah, I don't want to go back there, though. Absolutely no way. That was the hardest work I've ever done.
All I remember, my main memories of the years 2012 to about 2016 were, actually, fuck it, 2019, were just sweating. Constantly sweating because you are physically, things are being demanded of you all the time. Jump up here, run in there, go and get that. It's like running a B&B, but instead of humans, just monkeys flying all over the place. A B&B for monkeys. That's essentially what it reminded me of. Also, in the night garden, it really reminds me of the moment at the end when they all do a big dance together. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. It's gorgeous.
And they all go to one side of the screen and they all go to the other side of the screen. And whenever we used to watch that with my eldest, he would insist on everyone in the house having to get in the room. So sometimes if...
Oh my God. Hang on a second. Wait a minute. The dogs have gone crazy.
Oh, that's amazing. Whoa.
Right. Get out. Kill.
That wasn't Boo doing that, was it?
No, that was Berry. That was the rescue pug that's underneath my feet most of the time.
Getting rid of... right.
But when he barks, it's really funny because, you know, pugs have got a tail that goes up. And when he barks, his bottom goes in and out.
You can see him doing little barky prolapses.
It's quite fascinating.
Nothing more Edie's compelling to watch than a barky wink. Oh God! All right, good. So dogs, assholes, and in the night garden aside, let's move on. That's 2010.
There we go. Fine, yeah, brilliant.
2011. We've got a bit of Harry Potter stuff going on.
Okay.
We've got Angelina Ballerina.
Oh, look. Okay.
This is nice. We've got a sledge. You've ordered a sledge. Ultra Sport Kids Davos Wooden Sledge for Christmas.
Oh, yes. Well, there is that thing, isn't there? Did we take that? No, yeah, there is that. Because we would, so we were, oh, yes. So we were living, we'd come back from Ibiza and we were living in a house near to where we live now, but it was on a really big hill and there were lots of woods. And I think there was it went pretty fast. There's lots of sledging opportunities around us. But you always have, the thing is with snow and the UK, unless you are in, you know, the far north and beautiful bits of Scotland, you know, it starts to snow and the kids, you go up into the loft, get there, because we're lucky enough to be skiing a few times in life. So the kids get like all dressed up in a woolly hat and gloves that are too big and trousers. You go outside and there's like an inch of snow and you're always managing that disappointment for the kids. Like, we can definitely sledge in this. We're going to be snowed in for months. Oh, it's gone. There's nothing there.
I think it's such an important part of the national characteristic that you know, you go up, you come out dressed like Edmund Hillary in time for spring. That's essentially what happens. But our climate is so cruel to us in so many sort of passag ways that it makes us who we are. It makes us the deeply cynical, jaded, disappointed species that the British are. I think it's rather wonderful. Talking of which, no better emblem of the British species than the bowler hat that you've got here on the 28th of October, a black felt bowler hat.
Ah, okay. I know what that's for. I know what Come that's on. For. That was a fancy dress party where me and Damien went dressed as the guys from Clockwork Orange.
Wow. Okay.
How bohemian is that?
That is good. No, it's good. Did you drink milk all night?
We drank milk all night. We wore the braces. I remember painting the, you know, the eyes on. We had the braces. It was really good. And I fucking hate fancy dress parties. I just hate them. I absolutely hate them. Somebody says fancy dress to me and I'm like, I'm not going. I'm just not going. Yeah. I'm not going. And the annoying thing is that every single time that I have been crozed and persuaded into going, I've had a ball. I've had an absolute ball. It's been brilliant.
That's a bit like me with doing anything after about 10 p.m.
Yes, exactly.
It's true, isn't it? And I still don't learn. Whenever there's anything on, whether it's a stag do or a wedding or just a big night out, and I go, no, this is going to be awful. Always have a great time, Emma. Always have a great time.
You know, maybe it's an inbuilt strategy. You know, it's everything's a bonus. But that was a good one. That was a really good one.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. Come on. Let's see what we've got next as we trawl our way through Emma B's purchase history. Lots of lovely things for kids. Oh, this is nice. Yellow streamers, August 2012 now. You know, streamers with a little stick and then you can, little kids run around and they twiddle them in the air and it looks like.
Yes. You know, okay, lovely. So this is when Billy, who's our youngest, this is when his dancing talents kind of started to emerge. He was doing gymnastics at the time and always wanted to do rhythmic gymnastics with the girls. So those streamers are, they're like the ribbons that you use in display gymnastics. So he'd run around the house doing, pretending to be a rhythmic gymnast and doing twirly things.
They look a little bit like you're turning the air into italics.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's almost like the paperclip on Microsoft Word popping up and just going, oh, I'm going to italicize oxygen. It's a strange thing. Billy was how old at this point when he started showing this?
Well, he always wanted to dance. So he danced as a little boy when he was sort of 3 or 4 years old. But then at that age, it's all sort of good toes, pointy toes, bad toes, good toes, bad toes. As any little boy, as you well know, he just needed to chuck himself around a bit more. So we stopped the ballet and he went to gymnastics. And this is just hilarious because you never really know if your kid's any good at something, do you? You just never really know. I mean, you have you know whether they're smart at school or stuff, but you know, when they're really little. Anyway, so he goes to this first gymnastics competition. And I have no experience of competitions. I have no experience of gymnastics at all. There are parents there that are writing down the scores of every other child. They're videoing it and stuff like that so they can, you know.
Well, you wouldn't get away with that anymore.
No, you wouldn't do that anymore. Hell. No, exactly. No. Yeah. So we're watching. Anyway, it seems to go pretty well and he does this little routine with a handstand and a forward roll and some bits and pieces, and we, well done, Billy. Oh, it's so brave. It's so brave. It's very good. Lovely. Well done. And they're sitting down like this and they're giving out the prizes. And it goes in fifth place, in fourth place, in third place. And me and Damien are like, oh, is it? And we're literally bending down to pack the bag to go. And he goes, and in first place is Billy Wilson. And he looks at me and he looks at my dad. He looks at Daddy, sorry, Damien. And he looks at his teacher and they all go, and do you know what he did? He got up and he walked up onto the podium, number, you know, gold medal podium, put his hand up like they do in gymnastics, like he'd been there 1,000 times. And it was, we were like, oh my God.
That is so
Damien
gorgeous.
Sitting there going, that's my son. That's my son.
And everyone's looking at Damien, who's this monster, going, no, mate, absolutely not. Impossible. Impossible.
Exactly.
That is gorgeous. And of course, now, I mean, it's probably worth sort of mentioning where's Billy got to now with the, I mean, obviously he put all the gymnastics and the dancing away, didn't he? And that's it.
He packed it all up. No, he did not. And he is a very determined. He's one of the most determined little people I've ever met in my life. So he managed to get himself at the Royal Ballet School. So he is now in year 8 at the Royal Ballet School and will be doing, we hope anyway, Nutcracker this year. He was, he danced with Marianne Nunez and Vadim, principal dancers in Don Quixote last year at the Royal Opera House. So he's, we're very proud of him. He works his socks off.
You are.
He works his absolute socks off. And
he's a really special kid. He's a really special kid. You both
pain
your kids
in the
are.
Ass, but
I mean, obviously, yeah. By special, I mean massive, massive pain in the ass. And you know, any chance of him changing to English and drama? Probably not, I think. Probably not.
I don't know. You know what? It's you learn, they're very little and it's a very, very long road. The parents further up the school will always tell you that every year is a bonus. So you just take it a day at a time. Gosh. You just take it a day at a time. And regardless of whether he is dancing as an adult, it's an incredible school. And he's having an incredible experience. So hopefully that will all contribute to him being a very rounded individual.
Like really well. that in Ibiza, I tell you what, he's going to be an absolute dude. How does it work as he goes through the school then? Do kids drop out or do they boot kids out? How brutal
yeah,
is
no,
it?
Some kids, it's not for them. Right. And there are at certain years assessments to make sure that they're still right and that they still want to do it. And you know, it's a really, really difficult. There's 28 of them in the entire year, so there's 14 boys from all over the world. And you know, this year the number of kids, you know, if you look further up the school, there's, you know, to the people who've just graduated in their final year at Covent Garden, there's like 2 or 3 that came from year 7. So there's, you know, he's doing 10-hour days. They get up and they do 2 hours of dance. They have a full school day. They do 2 hours of dance. They dance on a Saturday. So it's like anything elite, you know, if you were competing at 14, 13, 14 in swimming or in football, when you're at the sharp end of that, the amount of work is considerable and it isn't for everybody. We just have to listen to him and he'll tell us, and you know, when your kid's not happy. And at the moment, I mean, you know, I spoke to him yesterday. That was the first time I'd spoken to him in 3 days. He was just like that. I've been busy. Would you stop nagging me? Can you send me some more tuck, please? And like this.
Oh, it's so amazing. Oh my gosh.
He's a very lucky little boy, but he's worked damn hard for it. And whatever happens is fine by us.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Just as long as he ends your fortune and he's your pension. Okay, cool. So just tell him that, yeah? Billy,
absolutely.
Billy, come on.
Exactly.
We like to listen to toast, and we're not the kind who would boast. And even in spite of the host, we still like to listen to toast. La, la, la.
All right, okay. So 2014 comes along.
Yes.
And what have we got here? We've got some, I mean, this is pretty standard, some creative multimedia speakers. I mean, let's not dwell too hard on that, shall we?
No.
April 2014, Resistance Loops,
for gym.
Oh my God.
Just giant plastic bands, basically.
Do you know the thing is, if you added plastic up bands. The amount of money I have spent on trying on just on Amazon alone on home videos to get fit,
just get liposuction.
Bands, I'm like, literally, I could have had a full on body liposuction with a facelift and a new pair of tits for the amount of money that I've got.
I love it. 10-minute trainer, Tony Horton's workout for the busiest people, fitness DVD program, £66, Emma.
It's so bad and it's still there. And I think I used it about four times.
This is what happens.
Was it £66?
Yes.
Shit me, that's bad. Oh, that's terrible.
Let this podcast be a lesson to you, Emma. This is becoming increasingly a mission on this show. It is for people to have a moment of reflection when they look at what they've bought on Amazon and go, do you know what? I don't need to buy this stuff. So it's appropriate enough, Emma, that we are recording this on Amazon Prime Day. And when we started the podcast, you were going, oh, sorry, I'm distracted because I've just seen something I want to buy. Don't forget, guys, if you're out there browsing right now, chances are you'll use it twice. You don't need it.
Oh, dear. I was just about to buy some face cream that was £81.
Oh, for God's sake.
I know, right? So bad.
£81 for some face cream.
I know. Click, presents.
Yeah, well, that's, you know what? It's funny you should say that because my wife has started Christmas shopping on Prime Day. She's already bought her mum a present right now.
Oh, God, really? Now, man. Yeah. Okay.
No, let's not get into that. Okay. All right, okay, 2015 now, Emma B. We've got a dog and field rope gun dog slip lead, a lovely lead for a hound, very nice.
That was the arrival of Boo, you see? He was probably only a year then. Yeah, he was only a year, but they get big quick, don't they? So, yes, this is Boo, our chocolate Labrador, who is
gorgeous.
Who is so gorgeous, his ear smell of Marmite.
Oh, I mean, not for everyone, but certainly for me.
We've bonded over dogs before, haven't we? And your gorgeous Polly. Who was it? Was it her birthday recently?
No, but it's Polly's birthday is at the beginning of November, November the 5th.
Okay.
And for the first time this year, she probably will be okay because she's terrified of fireworks, but she's got quite deaf. So actually, she probably won't hear them. So it's quite good, really. But she's going to be 14. She's going to be 14.
That's a good age. That is a good age for a dog.
I know. And do you know what? Here's the thing. Touch wood. Please touch wood. She's still going strong. She's not like she trots along. She drags a bit sometimes, but she's still in, you know, relatively good nick. I don't know.
Are you able to talk at all about what, I mean, are you going to do, what will you do? Because I've decided that I would quite like to have Boo's paws stuffed. Is that controversial?
What do you mean his paws stuffed?
He's got really beautiful paws.
So you're going to get the vet to lop his paws off? And keep a paw, like a lucky mascot.
I don't know.
That's barbaric.
It's not. People do it all the time. I mean, would really like to just have a plaque of his paws. I could just go and stroke them and remember.
You wouldn't do that with a human, would you? Remember that my mother's hands that held me once? See, there are hands there on next to the stag on the wall. Lovely stuff. No, you wouldn't do that. I think that's brutal. No, I can't bear to think about it, honestly. You know, we had an incident not long ago where it looked like she was dying and it looked like she'd had a series of strokes and she couldn't walk properly and she was falling over. And we had the moment in the front hall on a Saturday morning. I was on the radio, for God's sake. So I was having to nip upstairs and say, hey guys, that's the Bee Gees. Here's ABBA. And then run downstairs and hold my, as I believed then, dying dog. Yeah, it was really awful. And we had the kids gathered around saying goodbye to her and really bad because it was really obvious that she was very, very poorly. And went to the vets. Turns out it was a dizzy spell. She was absolutely fucking fine, the little sod head. So by lunchtime, Beth and I were like, I'm going to drink. I'm going to drink too. Let's get fucking shit-faced. Yes, let's. Bloody ridiculous.
They get in your hearts, man. They do. They get in your hearts.
They do.
It's terrible.
They really do. And it's, it's a bugger to get them out, to be honest. So 2015, though, look at this.
Okay.
Grand Union Canal, Birmingham to Milton Keynes, Pearson's Canal Companion. Bloody hell, Emma, you are growing old gracefully. Grand Union, Oxford and Southeast. Someone has hit the canals. Are you fully barged up? What happened?
Seriously, man, that was the best holiday we've ever had.
I'm desperate to do this. Can I just say, cards on the table straight off the bat. I am desperate, right, to get a canal, to get a barge boat and to get onto a canal with Beth and the kids and the dog. She is resisting heavily. So
what's the objections? Okay, right. So this is literally the best holiday we've ever had. So number one, you can't get many people on there. So it's just you. You don't have to talk to anybody else around a pool or at a bar. It's just the four of you. Okay. Yeah, it's cozy. Love it. It's gorgeous. You have to do stuff. So you don't have to rely on keeping each other entertained because you have to do stuff like steer the boat and open locks. And the kids, the deal of opening locks with the kids, and the keys either side, they have to get out the boat and they have to, you know, come on. It's just great. And you get to see the British countryside from a completely different angle, which is amazing. Often the barges go past incredible pubs, lots of pubs. The dog can walk along. Polly can walk alongside. You go at 4 miles an hour. You know, anywhere. And the best thing about it is, right, when you've got kids, canals are like a foot deep. They're not like...
Right. So if they fall... So can I chuck a couple of kids in for lols?
Not for lols. But it's not, Damien could stand up in most of the canals.
Canals, God, Emma, if there's one thing I've learned from this podcast, canals are quite shallow.
They're quite shallow.
I had no idea. I sort of assumed that they were, you know, vast trenches, like Mariana Trench.
No.
Don't fall in. And I mean, bearing in mind, me and my wife are often looking for anything to be anxious about. So the idea of pushing a narrow tin along a death puddle didn't appeal, but you've really changed that all around.
It's great. And then in the evening, you see, and there's nothing, the kids love that idea of being cocooned up in something that's not
so
a house.
Yes.
And you wake up in the morning and it's a bit cold and it's a bit damp and they're cuddled up in their duvets and they're working outside and they're in the open air and they're on water and it's amazing. And then you go down those really long tunnels as well. We can do echo games with them for ages. And then in the evening, you have Frey Bentos steak and kidney pies and red wine.
It's slow, it's stodgy, it's cold, it's outdoors. It's everything about it is brilliant. It's perfect. And obviously the big question is that really will seal the deal. So you did this in 2015. How many more times have you been on a barge holiday since then?
Okay, so we are planning. We went on another boat holiday. We have been on two boat holidays, and that was up in Scotland. Yeah. So, but we were just looking again because it is. We will be going again for sure.
I sort of just want to come and join your family. Is that weird? Can I do that?
No, but this time I'm not sure we won't, because the kids are getting older now. What I fancy doing with Damien, what we're looking
take
at.
Take my kids, take my fucking kids, take my kids to Scotland. Please, Emma, please. Oh God.
No chance. Mine are leaving home. I've nearly got rid of them both. Is going down the Canal du Midi, right down the centre of France, on our own at 3 miles an hour. Just having, like, you know, what are the actors? Oh, the amazing actors that do the boat series.
Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan.
No,
the Wests.
Yes, the Wests.
Oh gosh, hang on. It's wonderful.
Simon.
The canal trip with those guys. My eldest got completely addicted to watching that show.
Really?
When he was about 6 years old. He just couldn't. He's like, Daddy, can we watch the canal show again, please? Because they're just Prunella Scales. And is it Samuel West?
Samuel's the son, isn't it? Or is it Samuel?
Oh, Timothy. Timothy West.
Timothy, yeah. West, they're just gorgeous. He just drives and she reads out poetry. It's really lovely.
Do you know, I felt a deep, deep envy when you suggested that. That just sounds fantastic. Mm,
yeah, it's going to happen.
It really should. It really, will you promise me you'll do that, please? And
I will.
You know, that will help you get rid of empty nest. And also having, you know, your house and your life, it's not really going to be an empty nest. It's more going to be like a sort of empty nightclub, you know, just the kind of, you need
listen,
to fill it with stuff.
Tom, I'm sending both my kids into the creative arts. I mean, they're never going to leave fucking home, are they? They're always going to be here.
Yeah, that's true. That's great. That's clever. Very clever. If you love your kids, if you really love your kids, send them into those industries and you will see them every day for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
All right, come on. We've got to move on now, because we're going to start running out of time. A quick stop on the 3rd of February 2016, you spent £347.95. £347.95 on...
Oh, God.
The Hammer Crosstech XTR Programmable Cross Trainer.
Oh my God, don't bring that up. Oh no.
Emma.
Oh God.
How often have you used it?
I haven't got it anymore. I sold it on eBay. It was literally, I couldn't, oh God, I feel so bad about that. I'm so embarrassed. That was God, there's no excuse. Damien literally went berserk at me and was so angry. He was so angry. Where's it going to bloody go? And I'm like, don't be so cross. It's going to sit in the dining room when I go to work out every day. And I remember doing it like a Facebook post saying, look, this is what I bought. This is so exciting. And about 25 people posted back, oh, you're going to do that thing, aren't you, where you never use it and then you sell it and stick it in the garage. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm going to use it all the time. I never used it. I couldn't work it out. It wasn't the one. I never used it. It was bought and I lost money on it and I'm ashamed. I am ashamed.
Emma, just so you know, I have annotated most of what you've just said and written that as a review in your account for the Hammer Crosstech XTR programmable cross trainer. So my overall rating is 3 stars. Add a headline, it made my husband mad. Write your review. I bought this and all of my friends on Facebook told me I'd never use it. They were right. I never, ever, ever used it. I couldn't work it out. I sold it at a loss. I feel shame. Submit. That is
it. Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Sharing our truth on the podcast and with the Amazon community. That's
it's important.
All right, Emma, here's what we're going to do. We're going to dive into the present now, okay?
Yes.
We are going to have a quick little look at your lockdown, right? Let's see what you've been up to in 2020, okay? And straight away, I can see something you just bought, in fact, which I adore, The Murder of Roger Ackroyd, which is a Poirot novel by Agatha Christie. One of my favourite Agatha Christie's, that one. Is that for you? Are you going to read that?
Yeah, it is. It is for me. I'm doing so much reading. I'm really enjoying my books at the moment. But I've got a very, very good friend, dear friend called Sean, who is a TV director, and he had a show on Channel 5 on Saturday that you can still watch on Catch Up, celebrating 100 years of Agatha Christie. So he directed and edited that. And after having spoken, because we do the Book Club podcast, don't we, for Magic?
Yes, we do.
And we've spoken to some amazing people. And I had the great honour of speaking to Anthony Horowitz recently, who was also on the show. And I went back and read some more of Anthony's incredible crime fiction novels.
Yes. He's writing Poirot, isn't he?
He's writing Poirot and has written for Midsummer. I mean, he's written for everybody. But he said on this show that Sean did, they interviewed him, and he said that The Murder of Roger Ackroyd is one of the best crime fiction novels ever written. It was, and I don't know what the twist is, it has this incredible twist by all accounts. And I love the fact that I don't know, but it's such a famous book. And it was really the book that catapulted Agatha Christie into sort of superstardom. So, it hasn't arrived yet. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, it's something to look forward to. And it's the definition of cozy crime as well. That thing where we read these books just to sort of hide away and snuggle up and get on the barge, even when it's even in our own home, and just hide away with these things. Cover yourself in cushions when you read it. Bit weird on the 3rd of October, so very recently as well. Yeah. Maybe this is to help while you read The Murder of Roger Ackroyd. You've bought artificial blood capsules for recreating a massacre.
I didn't see the recreating a massacre bit. They have arrived. So they are for Billy, and who is TikTok crazy. And on TikTok at the moment, as we come up to Halloween, there are these amazing TikToks that loads of people are doing, whereby they kind of, there's a catchphrase for it, but they basically do 2 shots. And what these kids can do in terms of editing in the space of 3 minutes is incredible. But, you know, they're really well constructed ideas, and sometimes they'll work at it for a whole day and then they'll just put it together.
Good storytelling, man. It's teaching them storytelling. Yeah,
it's really very cool. Anyway, so it's a transformation TikTok. So you get the beginning of it and then you get a flash of these faces, these horrid, grotesque faces, these Halloween faces. So he's coming because he boards and he's coming home we're gathering because he's, you know, drama oozing out of every orifice. So he asked for some blood capsules to be able to do some TikToks.
To create a TikTok video. I see. Yes. Right. Okay. In terms of the requests you get from your child, can I, what's that? Fake blood. Yes, darling. See you soon. Bye bye. What does Billy want? Fake blood. Of course he does.
Do you want beans August. With that?
it's vegan blood. It'll be fine. Let's go for the final object now, Emma. And hopefully there's a good reason why you bought this. The adult This is a good start, isn't it? Adult?
Yeah.
Adult Roman helmet with feathers, with feathers, fancy dress hat accessory. The men's adult Roman general gladiator Spartan fighter fancy dress costume. Now, I should say, Emma, it's very important that I say, this is in July when there are no fancy dress parties on. So you and Damien have some answering to do, please.
Oh, my God. So this is in lockdown, right? And
yes,
we were all trying very hard at work to be creative on our social media channels. Right. We live in, we're very lucky. We've got lots of open space, and the fields around us were full of wheat, right?
You wanted to do a Theresa May, did you?
No, I was going to do a gladiator. So I was, because I do a really good Russell Crowe impression in Gladiator. So I phoned my friend Pammy, who's also a TV director, go, Pammy, would you come and film me being a Roman gladiator in the field near where we live? She's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, just come and film me like this. Just come and film me. And I tried it on a couple of times. I never got up the courage to go and stand in the farmer's field dressed as a Roman gladiator doing my impression of Russell Crowe, like touching the corn as he's, you know, walking off to be with his wife at the very end again.
I am so sad that you didn't do this. Why didn't you go and do it? You unbelievable.
Because then I put it on and realised that I looked like a proper knob and would probably get arrested. But it's, and the awful thing is, we're having our bedroom decorated at the moment. Well, we're decorating the bedroom, and it's by the side of the bed. I mean, I should probably try and use it in some
circumstances. I mean, you really should. Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't want to suggest too much what you might do with it.
A little bit of spice.
I why the hell not? You know, I could probably get Damien a slave costume if that would help.
Oh my God. Thumbs up. There you go.
Down. There you go. Yeah, there you go. See? Absolutely amazing. Right. So you didn't go into the field of wheat. I mean, would you like to close out today's podcast by letting us know how we can get you on social media, maybe as Russell Crowe from Gladiator? I mean, is that something you could maybe do? How is your Russell Crowe impression in terms of giving your social media information out?
I am the DJ of Magic Radio. You can find me on the Emma B Radio on Twitter and Facebook. And I will have my vengeance.
Idiot.
Yeah.
I love it. You should have done it. Emma, as always, what a pleasure. You're the best. Thank you so much for doing this.
This was really good fun. It was really good fun. What a nice thing to do. Thank you for asking me, even though you asked me after Harriet. We'll forget about that.
It's only because Paul Hayes cancelled that I got you in. Oh, that was so great. That was so great. Thank you.
Was that nice? That was really what a great idea. It's such a great idea.
It's fun, isn't it? Did you enjoy it?
Love you, buddy, baby, and I want you for the rest of my day. I want this ain't no more.
Anyone else got the urge to go on a barge holiday dressed as a Roman gladiator now? Yeah, good. It's not just me. Okay, that's a relief. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all your lovely support. Thanks for your tweets at TasterPod. Thank you for your lovely reviews as well on the podcast platforms. As always, they really make a difference. So thank you for doing that. And that's it. My requirements of you have ended for today, but I will require you to subscribe and make sure you're back next week, Wednesday. It actually drops at 3 a.m. So if you could be here at 3 a.m. next Wednesday, I'd really appreciate that. And it's a great episode. I've got a really exciting guest next week. But anyway, that was the wonderful M&B, and I'll see you soon. Have a good week. Take care. Bye. Bye. Bye.
I'm Tilly Steele.
And I'm Helen Monk.
And this is Bitchin'.
I'm dyslexic.
Yeah, why do you read the Wikipedia page?
It's good to practice.
A podcast where every week we talk about a different person.
So how old was he when he first popped on the scene?
That's a great
question. If you say he was my age, I'm gonna fucking die.
And we veer wildly off track.
Pop that Prosec.
Available on all your podcast apps. That's not my just
can you not say in the advert?
Available on all your podcast platforms. Just search Bitchin' or Great Big Owl.
We'll see you there.
That was all right.